The following content has been provided by New St. Andrews College in Moscow, Idaho. For more information, visit us online at www.nsa.edu.
All right, Westminster Confession, Chapter 14 of Saving Faith. So then, what is saving faith? That's a great question. Paragraph 1. The grace of faith, whereby the elect are enabled to believe to the saving of their souls, is the work of the Spirit of Christ in their hearts, and is ordinarily wrought by the ministry of the Word, by which also, and by the administration of the sacraments and prayer, it is increased and strengthened. All right, so the ordinary course of events is this. The word is preached, and God uses that word to transform a sinner's heart by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we're not talking about faith, period. We're talking about saving faith, the kind of faith that saves. As a result of this transformed heart, the elect are enabled to believe to the saving of their souls. If they could have repented and believed with their old heart, they didn't need a new one, as we've mentioned a number of times. But once this transformation is complete, the word and the resultant faith do not disappear. The word, along with baptism, the Lord's Supper, and prayer, works to increase and strengthen the faith of the believer. Please note that the grace that is being strengthened by the sacraments here is saving grace. It's really important to note. The work following conversion has much in common with the work of conversion. We can say biblically that I was saved, I am being saved, I will be saved. It's a process. Now, it's not a process that's up for grabs, because God's sovereignty superintends the whole thing. God's sovereignty overarches the whole thing. But it's very important to note that saving faith is strengthened, increased and strengthened by the word, administration of the sacraments, and prayer. In other words, saving faith is strengthened over time. It's not simply a punctiliar event that saves you and then it goes away or goes back into heaven. Saving faith is persevering faith. And because saving faith is persevering faith needs to be sustained, held up over time. All right, paragraph 2. By this faith, a Christian believeth to be true whatsoever is revealed in the Word, for the authority of God himself speaking therein, and acteth differently upon that which each particular passage thereof containeth, yielding obedience to the commands, trembling at the threatenings, and embracing the promises of God for this life and that which is to come. But the principal acts of saving faith are accepting, receiving, and resting upon Christ alone for justification, sanctification, and eternal life by virtue of the covenant of grace. All right, so this is a big deal also, because if we read the Westminster Confession here carefully, we will see that it collides with certain assumptions that have crept into North American evangelical hearts from revivalism, where revivalism wants to place saving faith as this convulsive, catastrophic event at the revival or at the moment of conversion, and everything is done there. Well, that's not how the Westminster Confession describes saving faith. The faith that is worked in us by the Spirit causes us to believe as true anything revealed in the Bible. This is done because the quickened individual sees the authority of God himself in the Scriptures. The renewed individual, the quickened individual, treats the Bible as a window, not as a mural. He looks to the Bible and he sees through it to God on the other side. He doesn't stare at it as though it were a static, immovable thing. But though God is always the one speaking in Scripture, he does not always say the same thing. In some passages, he threatens, causing the faithful to tremble. He commands, causing the faithful to seek the way of obedience. In other places, he promises, causing the faithful to trust in the promises for eternal life, as well as the present life. But the center place is occupied with the word, which brings us to accept, receive, and rest upon Christ alone for our justification, sanctification, and eternal life. All this is done under the terms of the covenant of grace set forth in the Scriptures. Now, I want to highlight this and point to it, jump up and down on it. Note that the principal acts, that's the phrase used, the principal acts of saving faith include trusting Christ alone for sanctification. That's what it says here. Now, look at that. But the principal acts, I'm quoting now, but the principal acts of saving faith are accepting, receiving, and resting upon Christ alone for justification, sanctification, and eternal life. Trusting Christ alone for justification and eternal life seem to us like converting motions of faith. But the Westminster Divines were very clear that one of the central things done by saving faith is to trust Christ for sanctification, which means that saving faith is something that is existent from the moment of its inception through to the end of the saved person's life. That's why we believe in the perseverance of the saints. That's why we believe that the perseverance of the saints is perseverance in holiness, because saving faith accepts, receives, trusts in Christ for justification, and does not then poof, evaporate. It remains and trusts Christ for sanctification and trusts Christ for eternal life. So the Westminster theologians were very clear that one of the central things done by saving faith is to trust Christ for sanctification. Put another way, if it is not trusting Christ alone for sanctification, then it's not saving faith. Saving faith is connected to how we live after we're converted. It's not, and some people are suspicious of this, and we're going to talk about this when we get to the chapter on works, but it's some people are so suspicious of obedience and works because they're afraid of any kind of merit being smuggled in on our behalf. But notice, this is all trusting Christ. It's trusting Christ for justification, trusting Christ for sanctification, trusting Christ for eternal life. So, paragraph 3. This faith is different in degrees, weak or strong, may be often and many ways assailed and weakened, but gets the victory, growing up in many to the attainment of a full assurance through Christ, who is both the author and finisher of our faith. So, this faith is not to be understood as a standard unit of divine manufacture. It's not like everybody gets one troy ounce of saving faith. Rather, it's like an organic plant. If it is alive, it will grow up into full assurance of faith at some point, whether in this life or the life to come. But while in this life, the faith in one man may look quite different than the faith in another man, and they're both saved. They're both saved men. It's saving faith in both. But they're very clear here in the Westminster that faith admits of degrees. It may be weak or strong. It may be great or small. It may be triumphant or cautious. But regardless, genuine faith gets the victory at some point. Genuine faith, saving faith, wins through at some point.
New St. Andrew's College thanks you for listening.